You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is a Boardwalk Audio podcast.
Hello and welcome to Duck Snort Baseball Podcast.
Duck Snort. Duck Snort.
There it is. I'm Greg Nix. I'm sitting here with Waylon McQueen.
Hi.
And Joe Weber on the ones and twos.
Hey, yo, what's up?
Ooh.
How's it going, guys?
Joe's so much better at me than saying hi into the mic.
He's
That's because I'm really uncomfortable in my normal skin, so I have to be a character.
No, hey, I'm a Joe Weber. I'm sitting at the microphone.
I thought I was sitting next to myself or something.
We got a great show this week. We have a writer and director and big Arizona Diamondbacks fan, Maddie Smith, on the show, who we're going to talk to about just some sort of general state of the game, like things that I guess could be improved upon, but, you know, and things that we love.
Yeah, he has a lot of opinions about how the game is played.
As do we all. And my opinion is good. It's played good.
It's a good played game.
So that's a great conversation. And coming up after that, we have from ESPN Stats and Info, Schneela Letterman.
Schneela.
A very specific statistician.
Very excited.
Yeah, very excited. Before we dive in, though, we should give a shout out to Boardwalk Audio. They host this show as well as many other wonderful shows. You can support Boardwalk and Duck Snort by visiting boardwalkaudio.com/ducksnort. Click on the Support Our Artists link. That'll take you to Amazon. Shop like you normally would. There's no added cost, but Duck Snort and Boardwalk get a small kickback from Amazon. So please do that.
It's the weekly item. What are you going to buy?
You got something you're going to buy?
I would buy like an inner tube, like a fancy inner tube, because I just went swimming. And I like a big flamingo inner tube would be mine.
That's a good one.
I got married in October and we still haven't set out our thank you cards. So I think maybe I'll buy some thank you cards.
Smart.
And then write those.
Yeah, so you don't turn off your family and friends about your marriage.
Yeah, my wife and I made up a rule where it's like, we have a year, right? I don't think that's a rule.
I think that's a year to get people gifts from a wedding, which I have previously broken.
Oh, yeah,
so I feel
too
bad about that. So we were going to talk about...
What's the big news this week?
Well, the big news is Scooter Gennett of the Cincinnati Reds hit 4 home runs in a game, was the 17th player ever to hit four home runs in a game, and the 15th player ever to hit 10 RBIs in a game. Drive in 10 runs in a game, I guess, would be the more eloquent way to say that.
RBI,
yes. Yeah, runs batted in. Yeah. Which is pretty unbelievable if you know anything about Scooter Gennett, which most people don't, is he hit 4 home runs in a game. Not a power hitter at all coming into this season. This was those 4 home runs were 9.5% of his career home runs. Yeah. So before this game, he had hit like 38 home runs, which is unbelievable.
He's been in the league like, what, 6 years?
Yeah, he's been around for a long time. He's like small. He's like 5'9 or something. Here's like that. I mean, he's named Scooter. That's all you need to know. He's named Scooter. Like, Aaron Judge would never get the nickname Scooter. Like, Barry Bonds would never... You never get root for Scooter Bonds.
Barry Bonds would hate the name Scooter. I want... From now on, we only refer to Barry Bonds as Scooter Bonds. I think... So the little thing came up on the baseball app, MLB app, that said, like, Scooter Gennett is Gennett, right? Not Gennett.
Yeah.
Gennett. Had 3 home runs, and I always dismissed that because, first of all, I'm like, that will never happen. I'm like, Scooter Gennett, yeah, right. And then when it happened, I looked up the Brewers box score because I had no idea.
You thought he was still on the Brewers.
Yeah.
And he's been off the Brewers for over a year, right?
Yeah, I had no idea.
Yeah, completely unlikely. Shocking, in fact. I was just thinking, like, a couple weeks ago, actually, you know, it had been a long time since somebody hit four home runs in a game, and I was hoping it would happen, and I would never in 100 years... In 101 years, I would have predicted
you would have eventually gotten a scooter.
But in 100 years, no way.
Yeah, that's... I don't even know. That's like... I would name, like, every player before I named... He's like this. What he would be like the 10th player on the Reds. I would name.
Yeah, there's probably a couple pitchers who I would get to before like.
Yeah, Madison Bumgarner in a four game is way more believable.
Yeah,
than Scooter.
Arrieta, right, is a pretty good hitter.
Yeah, he can hit some dingers.
Crazy,
oh, it's so crazy. But it got me thinking about, because I was thinking about that too. Like seeing people hit four home runs, like seeing that live would have been amazing, right? And so like it's. The things that I what's do you guys know like what the thing is that you would most want to see live at a game, not watch on TV, but like at a game,
like in terms of we're not talking like win the World Series here. We're
talking about like a feat that like you just go to a game thinking it's gonna be like oh like is those people who was that against the Reds and who was that against?
What I thought it was the Brewers. No. It was obviously not if you looked up the Brewers game. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. You went to a Reds.
We should have prepared. Again, our 6-hour pre-production meetings, and we
didn't
just
even
missed
think about
that
who's
one.
But you go to the Reds game, and you're like, oh, and then you see Scooter Jeanette hit four home runs. So what's the, like...
I think, you know, I would love to see, like, a perfect game, obviously.
Yeah.
I would love to see, like, an unassisted triple play. Like, the things that are very, very, very rare.
Yeah.
But I think... I've never seen two things that I would love to see that would just be exciting plays. An inside the park home run and somebody stealing home.
Oh, okay.
Like a straight steal of home. Because you don't, you almost never
see
that anymore. It's usually like, you know, a messed up squeeze or something like that, if it ever happens.
You just don't see someone take off.
I would love to see
during
like
a lefty's wind up.
Billy Hamilton or somebody just like have some real stones and just like go for it and get in there. That would be one of the most exciting things you could see at a baseball game.
So do you have one, Joe?
I was just going to say like a nice solid pickle. Like where they're safe.
Oh, but like a 20 throw one. Like
yeah.
A 20 throw pickle or something ends up safe.
Yeah.
So I came up with a few. We talked about it, because I was thinking about this, I think mine is probably a perfect game, is the thing I want, even though I love me some offense. But I have
you'd love to see like a 19-0 perfect game.
Oh, so you get four home runs and a perfect game.
Yeah, all in one game. Same player.
But I came up with some either ors. Can we do some either ors about it? One is a perfect game or a four home run game. Which one would you rather see?
Say that again?
Would you rather see it live, a perfect game or someone hit four home runs in a game?
Ooh, that is tough because the home runs, like that excitement of like building up to last at bat. But I think I would go perfect game.
I would go perfect game, I think.
I don't know. Four home runs would be like electrifying.
You're a bit of a dinger queen.
I'm a spicy donor kebab man. Hit them all to me, baby.
Okay,
I'd love to catch four home run balls from the same player in the same game. He hits them all directly to me in the outfield.
Okay, I have a few more. Not that many more. A 21 strikeout game, which would break the record. So one pitcher would get 21 strikeouts in a game, which would break the record. Or a 13 RBI game, which would also break the record.
Oh, strikeouts for sure.
You'd rather see a player get 21 strikeouts than 13 RBI?
That
was the second one?
A player get 13 RBI in a game, which
RBI
in a game, which
that breaks
the
record,
which would break the record. Yeah, and 21 strikeouts would break.
How
that
many
record.
Of those are some spicy ding dongs?
Oh, you want to know how many spicy ding dongs?
Yeah,
let's, definitely one grand slam in there, so you get to see a granny.
Okay, I think seeing one person get 13 runs would be
versus
incredible.
21 strikeouts.
Yeah, I feel like that's more impossible than getting 21 strikeouts.
I don't know. I was very excited for the game where Scherzer, which we talk about a little bit later in the show, where he had 14 strikeouts.
How do you know what we're going to talk about later in the show?
I'm breaking the fourth wall. We recorded the interview with Matty already. We talk about it. But I was very excited because he had 12 through like 5 innings or something like that. So I was like very excited. Oh, yeah, at the Dodgers.
Yeah, yeah, I was working, but I brought it up to watch it. Okay, okay, okay. How many more do you want to do?
Let's make this the last one. Okay, because I do want to talk about something
that's right,
else
you're
real quick.
Okay. Oh, what's a good one? Okay. Would you rather see a brawl or see a streaker that runs for like a full minute before he gets away from everybody?
Brawl.
Brawl for sure.
I haven't seen a naked streaker, but I saw somebody run on the field.
Yeah. Now, this is naked. You get to see a ding dong flopping around.
You get to see it all.
If it's the like the freeze goes rogue,
who we will also touch on shortly.
How
freeze.
Do you know? But yeah, the freeze we'll talk about later. Okay, that's great. That was fun for me. Cool. So what you want to talk another stats related? Stats is the theme of the show.
Yeah. Well, we're talking to our stats friend later in the show. We're talking about some specific stats with Scooter Jeanette and all that. And I was thinking like. I guess, you know, there's so many stats sites on the internet, but I've sort of developed a very specific like routine when I check stats, which I do a lot because I'm a nerd. And I actually was thinking about it when I was looking up Avisail Garcia's stats, who's a outfielder for the White Sox, who's having a very good year out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. And I sort of check his stats like pretty much every day because I don't trust that it's for real. I'm like, how much realer do these stats look? Like, what's his BABIP right now? And like, you know, is this sustainable?
How is his BABIP?
What's his? It's pretty high. he is having a much better year. Yeah. His like isolated slugging is like way up and he's like not striking out nearly as much. So it's funny that That's you asked good. That yeah. actually because. This is my routine, right? Is like each site has like specific things that I go to it to look for, like based on the presentation and how easy it is to find and how well organized they are and stuff. So I have this, I don't know, and I guess routine's the right word for it, but it's sort of like a hierarchy as well, where I go to ESPN.com for like the most up-to-date stats because they update their player pages live, like during the games. So you can see their season stats live as
Does
opposed-
anyone else do that?
As far as I know, ESPN's the only one who like reliably does it live, which is very
impressive.
Helpful
yeah.
because if somebody hits a home run, I want to see their stats like when they look yeah. the best right after the home run. You know yeah. what I mean? So I use ESPN for that. I use Baseball Reference for a few things, for like game logs and splits because they're much easier to sort and mm-hmm. you can sort of like select your own time frames and stuff like that. And they also have their own type of wins above replacement. And they're good for things like strikeout rate for pitchers and mm-hmm. stuff like that. And then, gosh, this is just
great.
The nerdiest conversation I've ever
so
had.
Much.
But I do this, I like formed this some hierarchy somehow. And then I go to FanGraphs for strikeout and walk rate for hitters, for isolated slugging, for defensive stats, and then also for like swing stats, for like how often are they swinging in the strike zone?
Right,
how
yeah.
much are they making contact on like fastballs or whatever?
Wow.
So it's like that's how I get like my comprehensive picture of a player, I guess, and statistics, which I think works pretty well. And I just thought it'd be interesting to hear if you have one, Wayland, or Joe, and also just to say, like, because I run the Twitter for the podcast, and I do tweet with, like, a lot of people, and some people have, you know, talked about how they're trying to get into more advanced stats, and, like, how do you do that, and, like, what are the stats that you look at, and stuff like that. So that sort of is, like, my overarching, wow. like, pattern of how I find stats, and how I waste just an obscene amount of time.
It's perfect. I love it.
You want to go? You want to take it first?
Yeah. You waste more time than I do on that. But I used to waste
for sure.
more time. I love it, though. That's not at all. My go-to is Baseball Reference for anything.
Right. I feel like that yeah. is like that's the be-all and end-all.
Yeah.
Like, if there's going to be one site, that's the one I'm going to.
I think part of the reason, though, is because like since I was a kid, because I always loved stats, like my dream was to be able to go somewhere and be able to look up any stat I wanted. And Baseball Reference was the first website that provided me that dream. And I think I have some sort of like loyalty for like the 7-year-old me needs to stay loyal to this website that first allowed me to look up how many triples Kevin Mitchell had in 1989. If I wanted to, you know, which isn't even that, you don't need to know that, but I can know that.
Yeah.
And so I think, and not that FanGraphs can't do that, but I think Baseball Reference did it first. And then I just am so familiar with them.
Well, it's so easily like that's, just a great site. Like, it's so easily searchable. Like, it has all the minor league stuff. It has salaries and transactions, which is like crack to me. Like, I love
it's
that
so
stuff.
Great. And I love looking at like the MVP and Cy Young vote totals, and then you can cross-reference their like stats with people like the
people
war
who won or whatever,
because they'll put their stats, and they started to put some, not a lot of advanced stats in the stat line on the page, which has the vote total. So you can just see, oh, so-and-so was ninth, but had a 7.5 war, where the winner had like a 3.2, you know, like Terry Pendleton is probably the year that that applies when he won MVP. So that's that. I don't have like a whole, I think I am still getting used to going to my mind going straight to like ISO and like WOBA, you know, like I feel like I have to come across that stat and then like reading an article and then go seek it out and then look at it and then process it. Like, it sounds like you're doing it the other way.
ISO is a super useful one. I think, you know, it's just, because you see players all the time whose stats lines are like artificially inflated by batting average, and you can, and some players are going to have good batting averages no matter what, you know, but ISO basically separates out slugging percentage. Like, it basically takes out all the singles from slugging percentage. And so you see like purely like how many extra base hits is this guy getting? Like, how much power do they have?
Yeah. And if you look, combine that with like line drive or fly ball rate or something, I'm sure you can get a good picture, or maybe not. I don't know.
Totally.
I'm still getting used to how to use all those stats. And
yeah, I guess like my go-to stats, like beyond like just OPS and stuff like that, is ISO and ultimate zone rating for defense, UZR, and then like WOBA plus, which is basically just like on base percentage, or like it's basically stat that encompasses all of hitting but adjusted for league average in a way that's like super easy to understand, where 100 is league average, like anything above is better than that, anything below is worse than
that.
That's
why I like FIP for, or XFIP for pitching too. Is what I'll go to, and I still look at WAR, and I know WAR is flawed, but I think it's easiest to
comprehend. I like it. Yeah, absolutely.
I think when you said if people are wondering how to get advanced stats, it's very intimidating, and what I did, I don't know if this works for everybody, is I just looked up, like, I think Baseball Prospectus probably does it, and I'm sure Fangraphs does, just has a list where you can just of all the advanced stats, and it'll just explain exactly what it is.
Yeah, that's almost too dense for me. Like,
see, that's the way. Like, I think reading about baseball to get to the stats is my approach versus you who can go straight to the stats.
Well, I think I like learned it sort of one stat at a time. Like, a blog, like basically through the White Sox blog that I read, like SB Nation has a lot of great sites that can sort of break down the team that you follow in ways that you already understand, and then like bring in a stat that supports it.
Cool.
So it's like, oh, I see like this strikeout percentage in connection to this pitcher that I know is really good and this pitcher that I know is really bad. So like, it must be important, and now I can understand that. Yeah. And so I learned like stat by stat, and then I started looking up the stats on my own. So I would say like, going to Fangraphs or something, which is like so dense, or like even Baseball Prospectus is really dense. Yeah. Like, you know, some of the more stat heavy guys on ESPN or like SB Nation or something like that is how I figured it all
out. That's good. Yeah. Find a writer you like that knows how to use them.
Who you understand and like reading their writing, and then you'll organically learn stats.
BAPIP's another favorite of mine.
Yeah.
It doesn't say a whole lot, especially like short term.
Yeah, but it tells you if a guy's getting lucky or something, if they have a high one.
Or like the Cubs
unlucky.
Last year had like a 255 BAPIP against, which is just like
insane.
It's like the third best of all time. So which has also helped me. I think it's helping me stay calm this year, because I knew that couldn't happen this year. Theirs is a little higher than league average now, but or around league average. But
it tells you some.
I realized how lucky the Cubs and how good their defense was.
Right.
But last year, so BAPIP is like a nice one to like make me have realistic expectations for my teams. Joe, do you have?
I use stats? Ask Jeeves.
Jeeves, who's good at baseball?
Jeeves, tell me a stat.
Well, hopefully you listeners out there didn't get like too lost in the woods on that. But I do think that stats are an interesting way to understand the game. And so definitely, you know, we'll bring them up from time to time. And if you want to get into them at all and have any questions, feel free to tweet at us. But with that, we should go to a quick break before we talk to Maddie Smith. So we'll be right back with a little bit more Duck Smart. I don't feel better,
babe. All right, welcome back to Duck Snort.
Duck Snort.
Oh, authoritative. Every time we have to comment about him. We're here with our guest, director and writer Maddie Smith.
Hey. And Diamondbacks fan.
And Diamondbacks fan.
How's it going, guys?
Not too bad.
It's good. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me. I'm very excited.
Agreed before we get into anything else, we're going to talk about the freeze.
Yeah, we got to talk the freeze. On everyone's minds.
Yeah. One of the funniest baseball things in this season, at the very least. So for anybody who doesn't know, the freeze is this guy in Atlanta who runs, who does races on the warning track and with a fan, and the fan gets like a 200-foot head start. Like basically the fan gets to center field on the warning track, and then this guy starts from the foul line and he just sprints all the way around and catches up. And the first guy who did it right, like
fell over. Yeah,
really hard.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's insane to watch this man run, and I guess all track runners are that fast or near that fast. But like seeing him next to like a dumb goofy fan man in like shorts or whatever, like really shows like how fast this man is.
It's kind of like watching a human race a horse.
It's insane. Like, yeah, they're not the same things. Yeah, those animals.
And he wears this like
his outfit is like this blue spandex like tight thing. I don't know.
He's wearing goggles.
I guess maybe I could do research, but it feels like that might ruin him to like know more about him.
Like,
Weird blue man named the Freeze. He's with the Braves, who are like whatever Native American is their team, and I don't know what the Freeze has to do with that.
As far as I could tell, like I did the research, and you could do research for hours, and nothing would come up because the only thing that is like he's been doing this for a few days, I think.
Yeah,
and,
proud of it. That's great.
I think I remember reading about an ancient Native American freeze man that comes out and calls your name, and then he makes you run fast, and then you run into the sky.
Oh, so that's what it is.
Yeah.
Is there even any team where the freeze makes sense as a mascot?
The Rockies, maybe? Like as cold as the Rockies?
Yeah, no one up north has a cold one. I guess Brewers might.
I guess the Brewers like a frozen brew.
A frosty brew. Here comes the frosty brew. But I do like the way he's taking like baseball. Like online also I saw posted, like someone posted in addition to the video of him racing the guy, I saw like someone had like clips of just him like running in like an alley behind the stadium. It was just like a video of him like preparing.
Still
or something,
wearing
or, like,
the cape.
In
and
the
stuff.
Outfit, yes. Like in on brand or whatever, like in character. Whatever that character is, but
that's what I want to know is where did it, like what was the ideation of like I'm a really fast guy, I'll be the freeze.
Yeah, well that's why I like that. I hope there's no reason for it. I hope there's no explanation for this weird man.
I think I did
really
read
fast.
The Mets broadcasters revealed that he was like part of the grounds crew or something.
Oh wow!
So
really?
Either someone had to have seen him run really fast and had this idea, or he was like
he's like a Goodwill Hunting figure. he was just cleaning the grass, and then it started raining, and he like had to run get the tarp really fast, and they were like, "That's it, like, get him in a suit."
He solved a math problem by running really fast.
He was like racing Ender Enciarte off the field and like beat him. Whoa. And they were like, we got to get this guy. Man.
And they ran out to him and he was like really excited because they thought they were going to put him on the team. Yeah. Like, no.
You have 8 minutes to think of a nickname. Yeah.
God, could you imagine if they put the Freeze in a game later this year? Oh, like he was like a Terrence Gore type pinch runner.
Put him on the 40 man. Why wouldn't you? Yeah. That sounds.
But he has to wear the uniform.
If he even could.
They never reveal his real name. He's just the Freeze.
Could you wear a full body spandex outfit underneath like your regular uniform? I guess is the big question.
I don't know what the rules are. Yeah. I guess they wear like hoods sometimes, you know, and like long sleeves
it's
under
got nothing
the
like hanging off or like technologically like nothing performance enhancing
that we know of.
I guess not.
Maybe the power is in the suit.
Oh no.
You take
is
the
that
suit
better
off.
Well, I'm glad.
So tune into the Braves games for the Freeze.
It really is one of the most joyful things that I can imagine.
Well, also, but I think it's also one of those things that like they've clearly fallen into a hole because they've like done it like 3 days in a row now, right? Or they did it at least 2 days in a row.
Yeah,
the first day everyone loved it.
Yeah,
they did it again. So now they just have to keep doing it. Like, They just keep this man outrun people.
Well, we talked about a few weeks ago the rally monkey in Anaheim and how that has like persisted for 15 years now, something like that. If a dumb monkey on a video board can do it, I feel like the freeze can do it. They would have to replace the freeze every couple of years, presumably.
They put different freezes.
They put the old freeze out to pasture and like stud him to like birth more freezes, like a championship horse.
Or I guess if someone beats the freeze.
Oh,
they become
beats,
the
they
freeze.
Become the new freeze.
They have to.
It's like it's like Highlander. No, there can only be one freeze.
Oh man. Great. So the Braves are interesting.
Well, this sort of transitions into one of the things that we were going to talk about, which is the pace of the game. How can we speed up the game? Use the freeze as, because you were saying you've been a huge Diamondbacks fan basically your entire life, but the last couple of years sort of have found less time to watch games and are sort of getting bogged down with how slow they're going.
Yeah, I think it's a combination of things, because I think there's one side of it is like the games are actually getting longer from like what I've seen, like actual pitch time and stuff like that and certain parts of that. But also just feels like, especially like as now we've got like HD and social media and stuff like that, it feels like, especially the NBA, but and I think NFL and NHL have also taken better strides to like modernize the game and like have access to the players and have like personalities out there. And so I feel like I've kind of less excitement and enthusiasm for baseball, as much as I love like the core sport. And that was like, even since, you know, before the Diamondbacks, I was a big baseball fan and I played baseball and, even before the Diamondbacks were a team, like I was an Angels fan. And so like, I've loved the sport forever, but especially just lately, it feels like I've felt a little bit of a grind. And so I've like liked this conversation that's kind of come up. And I guess the first move they're doing is they're making intentional walks. You just send them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is great.
You love it?
I love it. Yeah. Do you not like it?
I don't care.
I haven't gotten used to it yet. I was at a Dodgers game yesterday and they intentionally walked somebody and I like didn't realize what was happening. I was like, oh, why is there like, did he get hit by a pitch and I missed it? Like, why is he on first now? Yeah. And then everybody started booing and I realized, oh, an intentional walk.
How do they signal that they want to?
The manager just says, just like,
oh, okay, this is not like
first. well, it's a funny thing. Well, that's the thing with like baseball also that happens a lot, where like some sort of call happens or some little like out was called for some reason or one little rule thing happened and like they don't explain it to the fans at the stadium. Like, this is an issue for being at a baseball game that I feel like sometimes every now and then you're like, wish I knew what happened. But
like
I guess
the
now
NFL
we're just,
announces
oh, they're out.
Like
everything. Yeah, you usually get like more of, you get the penalty call. And in the NBA, usually they can show like a review that pretty handle, because NBA is a little bit simpler, I think, rules for that sort of stuff. But every now and then there's like a weird base running call or something like that. And everyone in the stands is just like, okay, well,
we're here for 8 minutes.
They go and they talk. I'm sure talking. They're going to talk for a while. Then we're going to move on with the game.
It isn't. It's interesting what you said about, you know, baseball being slow to modernize and capitalize on the personalities and stuff like that, because I feel like there is a duality where MLB Advanced Media was like the first sort of digital sports company to have any kind of success. And, you know, MLB's been distributing games on the internet for 12 or 15 years or something like that, like way ahead of the curve on stuff like that. And they've got StatCast now. And like,
they actually handle all the NFL streaming too.
Oh, really?
They've
licensed
industry revolutionary.
Yeah. So like in this context, they're very revolutionary and very forward thinking, but there are so many elements of the game as far as definitely like, you know, pace of play, but also sort of the unwritten rules of baseball that sort of like tamp down on the loud personalities and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I think that's kind of where a lot of it lies. Like, I think like Bryce Harper, like every now and then we'll get like shit for being like excited, like for getting
for
into
smiling.
It. Yeah. Or like being like too into the like sport he loves and like trained his whole life to play.
I might have been talking about it with you guys, but like, yeah, the idea of like you can't smile when you hit a home run or something because you're showing up to the pitcher is like, if I hit a home run in any context of my life, like if it was t-ball with like a bunch of kids, I would be so happy that I hit it over the fence.
You're in that age 5 to 9 t-ball league, right?
Yeah, yeah. And I haven't hit a home run yet. I can't do it.
Man, you
but once,
it.
If I do, I'll be super stoked.
Yeah, like hitting a home run is like a euphemism for like doing a great, awesome, incredible thing. So like, it's so weird how like tamped down it all is and like how... Yeah, you like get the little like in the stadium, like the little like song plays, and then he like jogs around. And, like I was excited, but like, yeah, I would love it if they're just like, I don't know, like flipping off the other team and like doing cartwheels. Like,
you want him to be flipping off the other team?
I do whatever you got to do. I guess flipping off is inappropriate. You know? I like kids to enjoy baseball, so I guess don't do that. But like, yeah, I have no problem with that because I mean, this is the thing of like. Like, yeah, and also every other, I mean, yeah, NHL guys like hit each other and hurting each other. In the NBA, they like face off and like show up each other. They turn to like the bench and stuff like that. And then in football, they like literally stomp on other guys. So like in baseball, yeah, I'd love it if like Bryce Harper knocked a home run and then just like turned it to like the like opposing team's bench. And like
Shooter McGavin,
some
Shooter
kid friendly symbol,
like some his like touchdown friendly celebration.
Yeah, for the record, Maddie's holding up two okay signs.
He did
with
two okay. Yeah.
Hey, I'm okay with this. Not too shabby.
Yeah.
I do feel like there's a cultural divide in baseball, right? Between and this is a generalization, obviously, but part of the problem I think is that America views the game in a different way than the Latin countries do. Mm-hmm. And like they have their professional leagues, you know, which has a much different culture around the players. And so when especially young Latin guys get to the majors, there's like this weird like tug of war between them and sort of like the Brian McCanns of baseball, who are just kind of like serious and like feel like they're going to like their construction job and nobody should fuck around or the crane will collapse. You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. Well, like, it's, yeah, like, I mean, he's a little even older, but, like, Manny Ramirez, like, I mean, other than the steroid stuff, which he shouldn't have done, I guess.
We've forgiven him on this podcast.
Yeah, multiple times, probably.
We love Manny Ramirez.
But, I mean, like, yeah, but I was saying, like, what, like, a league full of Manny Ramirez's would be so fun. Like, there's such a, like there was such a character to him, and I think that's why people, like, liked him beyond him just being, like, really, really good.
Oh, yeah, I think because when he came to L.A., he like had that most incredible 2 months, but I think
it wouldn't
have been as big if he wouldn't have been Manny Ramirez.
Yeah.
Like if Mike Trout would, I mean,
he's
plays
this character,
in LA,
yeah,
kind of, but if he would have come to the Dodgers from a different team and put up crazy stats, I don't know if there would have been like a Troutwood.
Yeah, like, there it doesn't like seem like excitement and character to it.
You know who's another good example of that is Puig.
Yeah.
Who sort of is a big character and was very lively, you know, especially for his first couple of years, but then faced this huge backlash of like he doesn't take the game seriously enough and like stuff like that. I don't know. It does rub me the wrong way when that happens, like, because like I would rather see an exciting player who with some sort of flair and attitude than I would kind of the stock major leaguer, and I think a lot of people would too. I think that's one of the big criticisms that Mike Trout faces. We even talked about it last week on the show, I think, is like Mike Trout is so like white bread in so many ways, but his play is so like incredible. Like if, you know, you wish the personality and the style of play would cross over a little bit more.
Yeah. Definitely. That's what I was looking at. Like, yeah, who are the... Like, I don't know who the players are that I would be, like, psyched to, like, go see right now. Like, I mean, it'd be cool. Like, whatever, Aaron Judge hit, like, a, whatever, 500-foot
home run
today. Yeah. And that's cool. But even he's just, like, this big, dumb guy. He's, like, this giant hulking man.
I mean, I feel like Harper is pretty fun.
Yeah, Harper's, I think, a good... And they try to hold him back, but he...
And, like...
Lindor.
Like, yeah, Lindor and, like, Altuve.
Yeah.
I know we talk about them all the time, or like Machado.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But like they just make like fun plays.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like Batista does the bat, but he's terrible.
And there's
now.
Like
he's
different
grumpy.
There's different sides of it too, because I would say like Pedroia is a very like gritty, like serious player, but he also is fun to watch and like a high energy player. You know, you can like walk that line. Like not everybody has to be the same, but like there is kind of like a feeling of you know, fit in the mold, or else like you're not going to fit on the team.
Yeah. Well, I think it's even like, it's not even like different. Yeah. I think you can have all those levels. It's just the way that MLB doesn't seem like it wants to celebrate those different, you know, like the way you see like ads of like Kobe being like basically a dick and like, or whatever, like, and, like shooting over a little kid and whatever kind of thing. And like, yeah, just Shaq, like whatever, shooting free throws, making fun of that sort of thing. Like you don't see, most of the time you'll see like Bryce Harper standing there and it's Bryce Harper. And there's not a lot of like personality to it. It's seems like they push it down a little.
I feel like it's like an old white guy thing.
Yeah, I think so.
Baseball is an old white guy sport, says the four white guys. four middle-aged white guys.
They don't know that.
Or yeah. Maddie's 20 years old.
And he's no color for that I can see. This is clear skin. I do wonder, like, so do you guys think that baseball players are a little bit inherently more boring than basketball players, though?
Do you think the
sport doesn't lend itself to personalities as much as maybe basketball does?
I think like baseball's a sport that like there come out all these like weird sex stories and stuff like that about like players. Like there's all these
weird things.
And, like, but I mean like there are like weird, like, and especially
are you talking
like,
about that story of when the player swapped wives?
No,
you know that one?
Which one's that one?
It's from the 70s.
Yeah, I don't know either of their names, but they were...
I think they're on the Yankees, were they? Cause,
yeah, I think they were.
It was in ball four, I think.
They literally just traded wives. Like, not like for one night, for like their lives.
Who won the trade?
I think one of them like ended up staying together and the other one divorced.
There was a clear winner in that trade.
But it's just like, even like, I don't know, like, because I do feel like... there's a lot of like sitting around in baseball when they're like just sitting in the bench and stuff like that. And that time you're like expected to not be super, I don't know, lively and like interact with the fans. I guess that's dangerous. I don't know what you do with that. Cause you don't want people here like fighting with fans in the middle of games, but just, it seems like there is a lot of like room there for you to have a personality.
I mean, like,
and
a,
kind of
like
a bit.
After a strikeout, after a diving catch, after like, I mean, even like plays that are routine, but still, because every game has like two or three impressive plays. Yeah. Like first baseman should go crazy after they have a good
scoop. Yeah, well,
that's
kind of like in like football. Yeah, like in football, if like a tackle like just knocks down the quarterback after he's already passed it, and like they catch it, like the like lineman like still like celebrates
as if he, like, after literally anything.
Like,
yeah,
still is like stomping around.
Yeah,
like,
a receiver gets like a 9-yard like, stunt, and he's like,
he like still knocked him down. There's still like this like energy and stuff like that. Whereas I think like if whatever, like Jake Lamb threw it to like Paul Goldschmidt. He caught a guy out like the last second. Like Paul Goldschmidt was like, yeah, and like jumped up and down. And it was like the first out. He'd get called out like on it. People would be like, oh, what's up with...
People on his team
he's grandstanding.
Like AJ Pollock would come up and say like, come on, Paul.
Dude, it's not cool.
But there is a certain kind of intensity that is celebrated. Because did you see that video of Max Scherzer like swearing on the mound?
Oh, that was
like,
great.
No, I didn't see it.
Oh man, it's really good. He's so intense. He's just like holding the glove up, like getting ready to like go into his windup, and he's just like, motherfucker, you're going down. Like you could tell he's like psyching himself up in this.
And it was during that 14 strikeout game that he was winning.
That he was that
the Dodgers,
intense. But it was cool to watch. I don't know. And like he didn't take any crap for it, I don't think.
Probably because he's a white guy.
there's always institutional racism. I don't know. And I always wonder, like, especially with like advertising. I know, like, part of it is just like, I don't know, certain like brands, like basketball seems to like be a better fit for like Nike to promote whatever, yada yada. But like, it just feels like, you don't see the same level of like, personality and like specific character pushing that you do see in like other sports. Like I don't even see like I don't know what's the version of like Peyton Manning's commercials even. Like the NFL has like guys.
I don't know if they're like when's the last time there was a player like that? King Griffey Jr.?
I guess
like
so.
When they're, crossover when they
like really everyone can recognize
I guess
this
Ortiz
guy.
Like
yeah Ortiz
poppy.
Got pretty popular.
It feels like, but even then, like, it seems like over the years, like, Randy Johnson could have been one of those.
Yeah.
Like, Manny could have been more of that. Especially once he went to LA. Albert Pujols could have been. Yeah. He seemed like a big opportunity. But, like, but that was the thing. I remember, like, people liked Albert Pujols because he was a nice like boy too. Like he like I forget yeah. what his family said. He like took care of that woman's kid or something
oh,
like that.
Oh yeah, it was like special needs yeah. and like gave a bunch
yeah,
of
yeah, and that
to
was like what
kids.
People talked about. Yeah. It was like that was his character, and that's like that's very nice. So I won't discourage it, but it was
no, you want people but, flipping off kids.
Like, yeah, and then he like had that kid pitched to him and knocked it out of the park.
Line drive right back yeah. up the middle.
Well, there is like, you know, I think, Waylon, you're right that there is some institutional racism, but there also is like, apart from that, there's a language barrier. So like mm-hmm. Ortiz has the personality and has the likability to do that. And he does commercials and stuff. But to see him hosting Saturday Night Live, like, you know, English isn't his first language. So there, whether it's fair or not, I think there's probably like some hesitance to sort of take the leap of like, oh, this is going to be like both the star, like the brand for Major League Baseball, but also like representing like Capital One, or those the commercials yeah. that Peyton Manning does, like whoever, yeah. like they're, you know,
Papa John's. He does a lot of Papa John's.
Just discount double check, whatever that is. State Farm? Is that State
I want to thank Papa John. That's the first thing he said.
I want to thank Papa John. That was a great Peyton. I don't know.
Well, Peyton Manning's like the worst person to pick of like, they need a personality like Peyton Manning. Like,
they need a personality like this piece of toast from Indiana.
I had something I forgot. Oh, I was thinking about how the Yankees don't even let their players grow...
Have long hair or
facial hair.
And
like,
that's great.
Fuck yeah. the Yankees.
And it feels like people like respect, like they respect them for that.
Yeah.
And I don't like that.
No,
like,
I want every player to be Charlie Blackman.
Yeah. Yeah, well that's, yeah, like he's like a fun, exciting like player that's like, oh, let's push that. Like I know the Rockies are not a huge market team, but like that's the kind of player that like it's like...
I feel like it could start with just like if a team... had the right players and really decided to like let that kind of thing go. Like if one or two teams did it and then they got good, maybe kind of the Astros are doing it now, but like
I guess Jeter's the guy, right? Jeter's the guy to emulate, you know, with the team like deciding early
Jeter
on like
huge.
this is our star player, mm-hmm. like he's gonna be here forever.
I feel like the MLB needs like an Allen Iverson to just break a bunch of rules.
A disruptor. Yeah.
No, but they hate that so much. Like, I think it has to...
But so did the NBA when he was doing all that. And then now it's like everyone has tattoos. Everyone wears street clothes.
Yeah, that's true.
I do think the league has become a little bit more progressive with stuff like that since Manfred took over. And just in general, like just a little bit more forward thinking with the new commissioner. I do want to ask... You're talking about like personalities and the guys you like. Is there anybody on the Diamondbacks right now who you're like, that guy could be the face of the franchise? I mean, Goldschmidt is the face of the franchise, but he's pretty straightforward.
That's kind of a tough thing. No, not really. Like,
Zach Greinke's pretty exciting.
Greinke's an interesting dude. Greinke, like, I don't know if he's like,
it's like a weird, like off-putting man who scares children.
Super introverted.
He's just like, this awkward guy. Makes someone uncomfortable
who happens to be the best pitchers on the planet.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Like, yeah, it is like, I guess it like, it would have to be, it, like, Paul, like Goldschmidt's like an obvious pick from like the playing perspective, but there's not a ton of, like, honestly, a guy I love who also I can't defend, even though he's done okay this year, is Fernando Rodney as the closer, because he at least like...
He's got some attitude.
And I think this calls out, he's like, he wears his hat kind of to the side, and that's like crazy. like I remember like my mom has like an issue. like he's a little wild for us, like that he like tips his hat slightly.
Doesn't he know?
Backwards. Like, yeah. And so it's kind of hard to find that. Yeah, and I don't know if it's just not there. I don't know, but there's a lot of guys playing, and these are like... I think they're like crazy good athletes, and there's got to be like more personality there to push.
I think we'll get there because that's what people want.
And I think there will definitely be a change, especially like, I mean, it feels like the old white guys voting for the Hall of Fame and stuff, like they're getting on in age. Right. And this is like a weird way to say it, but like it feels like they're probably going to be aged out. And I think like basketball, part of it might be just that like basketball, those guys kind of got aged out a little earlier.
And they weren't as old to begin with.
Yeah.
You know, there wasn't 120 years of history.
The league is way.
Yeah,
way.
Basketball wasn't like nationally relevant until like the early 80s.
Yeah,
right.
Or like, yeah, MJ or Magic Johnson. And
MJ?
The other MJ, Magic Johnson. Yeah, I just saw a list. I can't remember what it was, Forbes or something, that had the 200 most recognizable athletes in the world, and there wasn't a single baseball player.
Yeah, see, like, that's crazy.
I can't remember. There was some insane. I wish I would remember. There was a badminton player on there. There was a badminton player, and I'm sure that has to do with that they're from Asia, where there's just way more people. But like, world recognition, there's a badminton player more recognizable in the world than any baseball player.
Wow. Yeah. It feels like Ichiro could have gotten a lot more. Yeah. He got a fair amount, though. Not that he wasn't like anything, but like, especially for like the international part of the game.
I feel like
he was so fun.
If he had played in a bigger market, if he had played for the Yankees or the Mets or the Dodgers or the Cubs, like, he would have a much higher like national profile.
Also, maybe if he would have started like if he was just 5 years younger.
Yeah.
Like, because, like, I think 2001 was his rookie year, so it was still pretty, and that was, like, steroids. If he was starting, like, 5 years ago, it would have been his rookie year, and so he was at his height now. Mm-hmm. Like, if he'd broken that hits record now, I think he would blow up.
Well, it feels like now he'd also be a part of a way better team, like, the way, like, the small ball kind of, like, the way, like, teams like the Royals and stuff feels like they played a game.
They did win 116 games his rookie year, so I guess we can't.
Yeah, but it was, like, they were hitting home runs, because that was, like, when Mike Cameron and John Olerud and Brett Boone all had, like, insane career years in the same year.
No, you're right.
And Jamie Moyer started his comeback.
I'm just being a jerk. Yeah. That's all.
Don't be a jerk about the Mariners.
Well, Maddie, we're about out of time, but really appreciate you being here would love to have you again soon because, I feel like...
We didn't even talk about the Diamondbacks.
Yeah, we barely even got
there.
So, thank you so much for being here and please come back.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah man. Thanks for being here.
Thanks, guys.
And we'll be right back with more Duck Snort. Thanks.
All right, welcome back to Duck Snort.
Duck Snort.
Duck Snort.
That's the name Duck of Snort. The show.
We still have Maddie with us.
Hey, guys.
Hey, because after that conversation was great, and he wanted to stick around for this next guest. I sent the Duck Snort boys a stat the other week. It's a couple weeks old, but Joey Votto, up until a couple weeks ago, his slash line on 0-2 counts, or after an 0-2 count, was 360, 484, 560,
and
which
usually,
is insane.
Yeah, usually people hit like 100 on an 0-2 count. Like Bryce, the league average is so low.
Bryce Harper is 206, 250, 353, and Trout's 229, 256, 371. So those are the best players in the game. And so Votto... Anyway, the reason I bring this up is because I feel like baseball has a culture of like super...
Specific
stats.
For
all
like
the time.
Situational stats.
Yeah, like there's always a first time since anything, or this is the best second, or whatever. So I reached out. I found a statistician from ESPN Sports and Info.
ESPN Stats and
Stats
Info.
Statistician to be on the show to share some fun stats with us.
Yeah, so please welcome Schneela Letterman. Thanks for joining us, Schneela.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
Oh, it's our pleasure. Can I ask, just before we dive into the stats, Schneela is a very interesting name. Is there a specific origin to that? Or?
Oh, my dad kind of, he didn't want his kids to have names that would be easy to make fun of.
Oh.
You know, so he thought that if he made the name already kind of a joke, that there's nowhere to go from there.
Okay.
That's pretty
good.
Was
that successful?
You know, unfortunately, I brought a lot of bananas to school, and people used to call me Schneela the Pila.
Oh, no.
So,
that's
not what we're here to talk about.
No,
sorry.
Okay, no, it's okay.
You do have two bananas with you right now.
I mean, yeah, you told me it would be like 20 minutes.
You got to keep your potassium levels up. I understand. Well, but thank you for joining us to talk about stats. I understand that you have come prepared with some specific stats you want to share with us. Is that right?
Yeah, I just have a few that are, from the current season that just...
Oh, cool.
Yeah, to me, it's like Waylon was mentioning that baseball, there's just so much room for specificity. You know what I mean? And it's fun to follow the details. And you can kind of use the numbers to tell a story. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that's what that's part of the boring baseball stuff, Maddie.
Yeah, yeah,
these numbers,
I'm very interested in engaging in this.
Oh, okay,
see
great.
How this goes.
Cool.
Yeah, so for example, from this season, Colton Wong of the Cardinals, only player with a triple at home during extra innings.
Oh,
okay.
That's pretty interesting, right?
Yeah, totally. Tells you something. It tells you that Colton Wong has hit a triple.
An extra, I mean, it's a valuable time to hit a triple.
Yeah, especially at home.
At home, yeah, that's true. Yeah, because you can win the game, maybe.
Okay. I mean,
that sets you up in a good position to win the game. Yeah, that tells you something that Colton Wong put his team in a position to win one game. Absolutely. Right.
Yes, the only player to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Did they win that game? Do we know?
Yeah.
Oh,
there
cool.
you go.
There you go. So it helped. That's a good one.
Yeah, that's Cardinals. It tells a story.
That I wouldn't say Colton Wong is a generally great player. That does tell me that he pulled his weight in the one game, I guess.
Yeah, that's true. Do you have any more?
Yeah, sure. Here's one that just to me stuck out as just super fun. You know, like this is one that, you know, I crunched the numbers and I was texting people about this. Mike Montgomery of the Cubs has the highest strikeout to walk ratio amongst relief pitchers in day games with one out and the bases loaded.
Okay.
I knew that as a Cubs fan.
You already knew that
specifically?
Yeah, I knew
that Mike Montgomery in day games on, what was the
with
count?
With one out?
One out. Oh, no, not count.
Yeah, one out and bases loaded.
So he has the most. He has the highest K to walk ratio.
Can I ask you, Shneela, why you find that particular stat of interest?
I mean, I just think, you know, relating it to that it's a day game, that the bases are loaded, there's only one out. Like, it really puts you in the mind of Mike Montgomery.
Doesn't?
And so, yeah. It doesn't for you?
Not particularly. I mean, first of all, that probably only happened once so far this season, right? Mike Montgomery has only pitched in probably, like, 20 games. He's probably only had the bases loaded with one out. You know, once or twice. It doesn't tell you anything grander about him as a player, about the Cubs season, about even...
No, but it's him compared to amongst all relief pitchers.
Yeah, he's the best relief pitcher in that specific situation.
Waylon, why are you coming out so hard in defense of this stat right now? Is it because it's a Cub?
That's asinine. No, it just seems like it clearly tells us that Mike Montgomery, when there's one out and bases loaded and he's playing at home, he's getting a strikeout over a walk.
Okay, I'm not trying to be difficult. I'm not trying to be difficult, I promise. I appreciate you being on the show, and I am interested to hear all these stats, but this is sort of a pet peeve of mine, is that, you know, your gainful employer, ESPN, will present...
Former.
Oh, you don't work for ESPN anymore.
You know, unfortunately, no. Am I allowed... If they had me sign saying I wouldn't talk about my time there, does that still apply if I was fired?
Virtually no one listens to this, so they won't find out.
Well, it feels like you should know this more than...
I should. You know, yeah. I didn't read it.
Waylon or Greg.
So it sounds like Maddie gave you permission just to go ahead and...
I said, go ahead and spill. Dish.
Okay, sure. I was let go recently. I was going through a hard time, and it affected my work.
Oh, no.
And yeah, so they said, you know, we have other people that can do the numbers, I guess. I feel like they lost, you know, a singular creative voice on the stats team. But you know what? That's their lot. So I'm freelancing now.
Freelancing stat person?
Yeah, mostly on Twitter.
Okay. So are you getting, probably not getting paid for that?
Not paid yet, but I'm up to like 90 followers.
Oh.
So.
I don't mean to pry, but I'm curious what sort of personal drama could affect such a by-the-numbers job. Like, by definition, it seems like if you got spreadsheets in front of you, you can make stats regardless of your emotional state. You know? Would you mind? Because I am curious also what goes on behind the scenes of ESPN.
Okay. Well.
Take the banana out of your mouth first.
Are you sure? It's been 5 minutes.
I'm not even sure it has. I don't know how long it's been.
I mean, since I last ate a banana.
Oh, okay.
Okay. You know how I said that I like statistics as a window into the mindset of the players? It gives you the context. It gives you the history. It tells you like where they are in that moment, knowing the pressure that they're facing. And so that was kind of my way into the stats game. And where ESPN had a problem is that I'll just say, I guess I made a couple of the stats personal to myself and they thought that it wasn't appropriate for their website.
What, do you have any examples of this?
Okay. Like Mark Reynolds.
Oh yeah.
Of the Rockies.
Former Diamondback.
A lot of strikeouts.
Yeah. A ton of strikeouts.
Oh shoot. Did I jump on that?
No. Is it no. Strikeouts? He's just the second first baseman in Rockies franchise history to hit a home run in the same game where I was rejected on the kiss cam.
Oh. He's the second one?
In Rockies franchise history.
Yeah, who was the first one?
Was it Helton?
Yeah.
It was Todd Helton?
I guess it had to be. Right. He was first baseman for 18 years or something, or Galarraga.
So you've been rejected on the kiss cam in Coors Field twice?
They weren't both in Coors Field. It was both Rockies games. One was in Coors Field. One was actually at Dodger Stadium.
Oh, okay. Which one was Mark Reynolds?
At Coors Field. Okay. Wow. It was at home.
Yikes.
That is tough.
Did you know the person that you were rejected by?
Oh, yeah. I thought that we were on a date.
Oh, no. Oh, I'm sorry.
And the kiss cam, you know... I looked up and I saw us on the Jumbotron and I thought, maybe not this time, maybe it'll work. And, you know, he started waving his hands and mouthing, "That's my sister." Oh, no. But it wasn't my brother. He was lying. But I just want to make clear.
But Mark Reynolds hit a dinger in that game?
He did. And he's, you know, as far as I know, not aware of my situation.
Okay. I could see how that stat's not super relevant.
Yeah, I could see...
But it tells a story, right?
It certainly tells a story. I'm not sure that that's the story they would want to tell on air. You know, Dan Shulman announcing a game brings up that you specifically were rejected by somebody on the kiss cam. That, I don't mean to laugh. That's very sad.
Yeah, I mean, I was there in, you know, in the crowd, but... I was there working, doing live stats for the game.
You were on the job?
Yeah.
Yeah, I get it. Right. Okay, can we get...
Shouldn't mix business with pleasure, I guess,
there was no pleasure to be had that day.
Are there any other interesting stats?
Interesting
this
tidbits,
season?
Yeah.
Was it Dan Shulman sitting next to you? Was he the guy who...
Was it Dan Shulman?
You?
No. I was in the second level of seats.
Are you sure you were working?
I mean, I was sending all the stats to my... I had my laptop with me.
It sounds like you can't turn off a statistical brain like that. It's just always analyzing, digesting information. And, you know, inspiration could come at any time.
That's true. That's a good point. So are there any other... Because I feel like the Mike Montgomery one was great. So I just wonder if there are any other ones that really give us a window into how good...
If you say so.
Okay. I mean, sure. Here's another one from this season. The Angels.
Oh.
Of Anaheim.
Sure.
Yeah. Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim.
Okay. Aware of them.
Okay. Just, you know, sometimes stats confuse people. I feel like I have to explain things a lot. So it's just a habit.
Okay. Apologies. Continue. Yeah.
Okay. So the Angels right now are leading the league in right-handed leadoff hitters, grounding into double plays against a right-handed pitcher on the road with no outs.
I lost the thread in the middle.
Really?
Yeah. It did.
Is that did that not seem long and confusing to you?
I mean, no. I can instantly. It's like I'm there.
What was it again?
Lay it down again. Right.
Of Anaheim.
Los Angeles and Angels of Anaheim. Thank you, Maddie. Lead the league in right-handed leadoff hitters. So leadoff, do you guys know what that is?
Yes, we know what a leadoff
hitter is. Well, now I'm not sure where you're getting lost.
Okay. Right-handed leadoff hitters for the Angels.
Yes, they lead the league in those hitters grounding into double plays against a right-handed pitcher on the road with no outs.
I'll tell you where I'm confused is that that seems to imply like leading off the game if they're the leadoff hitters, no, or at least leading off an inning.
Just top of the.
It must be just like the number one hitter. Obviously, you can't hit in a double.
Yeah, the leadoff hitter hitting again, yeah. But they were the leadoff
hitter.
Are
you suggesting that no one's done that because it was the first, so the Angels were first alphabetically? And
no, I guess I don't know what I'm suggesting. The stat was very long. I'm suggesting that it's a confusing statistic
it's top of the order, okay. not first hitter of the game, because right. Then why would I say with no outs? Of course there are no outs. They're the first
hitter
of the
game.
Yeah,
why would you say that?
I guess you got me there.
I mean, yeah, I'm Sheila. Just saying.
Wait, what do they do with no outs? They ground into a double play with no outs?
Leading the league. If it's a right-handed leadoff hitter and a right-handed pitcher and it's on the road.
They have the most double plays, number one leadoff batter.
Most in the league.
In the whole league.
But they lead off, but there's someone on base.
I think it's just the number one position. Not the leadoff. You know what I'm saying?
Checks out.
Yeah.
A good stat.
Like the leadoff hitter. Yeah. See, that's a good Maddie. Baseball's winning that me one. Over. Yeah. All right. We're
yeah.
Getting
is this the kind of engaging and lively baseball personality that you look?
And that one wasn't
arguing the logic
look.
Of that stat. Yeah.
Oh, I have more personal ones.
Oh, I don't know if we.
I kind of want to hear. Okay, if I'm being honest.
Let's hear another one.
Okay. Jake Arrieta.
Oh,
famous Cubs pitcher. Yeah.
Two Cubs.
He has the lowest ERA.
Oh, okay.
Of any pitcher that I've seen at a home game when I was thrown out of a dugout.
What do you mean seen at a home game?
He was pitching the day that I was thrown out of the dugout.
Okay, so of all the times you've been thrown out of a dugout, he has the lowest ERA in home games?
Of all the pitchers of the games that I've been to. Wow. Yeah, home games.
How many times have you been thrown out of a dugout?
7?
Wow. Yikes.
I mean,
why? Why would that happen 7 times?
When I got hired at ESPN, I was under the impression that if I'm at a game, I'm getting free seeds.
Like
S-E-E-D-S,
seeds.
Yeah.
So
you're saying, like, so if I'm sitting there and I see all these guys eating seeds, spitting them out, I just wanted to ask for some. And apparently that you're not... I had the badge and everything, but you're not allowed to just go in the dugout.
And you got tossed out. Every time, all 7 times, it was because of seeds?
All 7 times I got thrown out. I have been in dugouts and not been thrown out of them.
Oh.
And acquired seeds.
No, I paid for the seeds that time.
Who has the lowest ERA for games in which you haven't been thrown out?
Let me think.
Could also be Jake Arrieta.
Oh, could be Jake Arrieta. Yeah.
Oh no, you know what? It's Johnny Cueto.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Not getting thrown out at AT&T.
I do want to point out, sort of, you're sort of pausing, and it looks like you're looking for stats, flipping through pages of a diary. Like there's no, you didn't bring a laptop or anything. There's like a pink diary with like sparkles on it and a little key and a lock.
Yeah,
and that's
but the
how you
inside
track stats.
Of it is graph paper.
Okay.
So, diary.
Yeah.
Well, it's just, you know, like I said, being somebody that analyzes the statistics, it does take, you know, a unique vision or a creative way of comparing things. And so it is very personal to statistics you look for, even when they're not directly about me. I will acknowledge that some of mine are deeply personal.
I guess my larger point was this just seems like how you track the emotional events of your life is through baseball statistics more than you're looking to gain insights into baseball. Yeah.
Give us a stat that might help us like get an insight to like, you know, who's gonna fall off of baseball specific.
Okay. Well, Tim Anderson.
Oh, hey, White Sox.
Of the White Sox.
Yeah.
Great. We're getting all of our teams in.
Has the most plate appearances at an away game this season of any player who played on the day my father died.
Okay.
Wow.
I don't know what...
That one's a little bit confusing because I can only assume that if Tim Anderson was playing on the day your father died, so were hundreds of other players because there were probably
a
lot of
games. She did say an away game.
Oh, yeah, an away game.
He
okay.
had the most plate appearances in an away game.
So what away game did the White Sox blow someone out?
He let off.
Or he would have hit high. And, yeah.
Makes sense.
And your father happened to pass away on that day.
Mm-hmm. during the seventh inning stretch.
Oh, wow.
He passed away during... He died during the seventh inning?
Yeah, I was at the game. He tried to catch a beach ball that went over the railing.
Oh, my God. That's truly tragic.
Where was it? It was an away game.
Yeah, it was at Dodger Stadium.
Oh, the White Sox. Yeah. Every few years it happens.
I don't know why I keep going back there.
To Dodger Stadium? Yeah, it seems like you have a lot of bad luck. How does that... I'm very sorry that your dad died, but how does that help us get any insight into Tim Anderson or the White Sox or any sort of trend? Because plate appearances isn't even that good of a stat.
Right, and your dad's only going to die once, so we can't tell anything going forward about that.
How does that help us predict how the...
Sure. You want just baseball?
Kind of. That's kind of why we brought you on.
Yeah. Okay.
You seem very annoyed. Maybe it's time for a little pick-me-up banana. Get that blood sugar up.
You know what? I do think that that's part of the problem. Okay, give me just a second.
Oh, okay, we got a vamp while she gets a banana out of her pocket. Oh,
it's so brown.
It's a very brown banana.
It's like one of those squishy things that kids play with. You get one side to the other.
I know what I'm talking about.
Maddie doesn't know those things you squish.
You can put like your finger in the middle and you squish.
Where they turn themselves inside out so they like slip out of your hand.
You get them at a dentist's office.
Yeah, you get like tickets.
Yeah. Or like at an
arcade or something.
Like a Chuck E. Cheese. Yeah.
That's what your banana looks like.
That's what your banana looks like.
Yeah.
No, if you squeeze it hard enough, it pops and it makes a big mess. But people will stop calling you Schneela the Pila.
What's the stat?
Yeah, we've probably got time for one more stat. Yeah. Like one more.
Real,
it's going to blow us away, give us insights, give the audience insights, something they've never heard before.
Yeah.
Okay, sure. The Arizona Diamondbacks.
Oh, great.
Actually,
great team.
Their relief pitchers.
Combined. Okay, so they're bullpen.
Have the most saves in games going into extra innings. On the road with a right-handed starting pitcher for games where I stubbed my toe and yelled. And look, okay, here's why I got fired from ESPN.
Whoa, you didn't even finish the stat.
Okay.
Why did you get fired?
I was at the Diamondbacks game, and I was going into the booth, to help out. And they have those rolling chairs, like an office desk chair, where from the seat there's a pole coming down, and then at the base there are like legs that come out with wheels on them. Mm-hmm. And I stubbed my toe. That's happened to you. You've done that? I feel like you guys are not relating to me, and I don't.
I've stubbed my toe for sure. Yeah,
definitely.
Okay. Well, so I stubbed my toe, but... Okay, this is embarrassing. I yelled fuck really loud right into the mic.
I think I was watching this game.
Were you?
Yeah, it was actually during an opening thing when there were a bunch of veterans on the field. And
oh, man.
Yeah, and I spilled a beer all over some very expensive equipment, and it turns out I shouldn't have even had a beer. ESPN, I'm tweeting a lot now.
Oh, wow. Maddie, who are the announcers for the Diamondbacks?
Right now?
Yeah.
It's Bob Brenly. One of the announcers?
Yeah. Steve Berfume.
Yeah.
It was Steve.
Oh, you know Steve?
I love Steve. I actually like them a lot.
He's funny. They're good.
I feel like Brenly's gotten way better than he used to be.
Yeah, he does. He's gotten less crotchety, I think.
Yeah,
he's mellowed
weird.
A little bit.
I feel like you guys aren't appreciating the gravity of the story that Sheila just holds.
I'm surprised.
Brokenhearted.
Yeah, that's very sad. I thought you might have been fired for the very personal stats that you'd be providing to ESPN.
Or even the very specific but not insightful stats. I mean...
I didn't learn any. I'm going to be honest with you. Other than that great Mike Montgomery stat, I didn't learn really anything.
Not even
I learned a lot
about
you,
about the
Schneela.
Angels one.
Yeah,
that's true. We did really parse apart the Angels one.
And I can tell you're passionate about statistics, and I appreciate you that you're pursuing them so hard. I guess I know you didn't come on here looking for notes, but.
I would say, like, if you're looking for feedback for future personal appearances, I'd say maybe, you know, stick with the stats purely about baseball. Make them a little bit more expansive to then the very specific scenarios you've laid out. And don't bring quite so many bananas in here because we're getting a lot of fruit flies right in my eyes right now.
Yeah, it's really bad.
Look, I bought these bananas at Costco. I have too many. And that's for me. I eat a lot of bananas, and this is too many. And so, yeah, they're old. That's the only part of that I'm defending at all.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
But, you know, as far as your note goes, look, I see what you're saying, but I'm hoping that by personally connecting to the stats of the game that people will see how they can relate to statistics. Do you know what I mean? Like, I want it to be a window for people to get into baseball and into the details and the nitty gritty and, you know, to be able to talk about it on that level. And, you know, for everybody out there hearing this, just know that, you know, if you have to do that by relating every part of the game to yourself, then that's a way in.
You know what? I can appreciate that because that's kind of why a reason we started this podcast as well is for people to connect. So I'm going to give you one stat right now, Shanila, that this is the first time in our podcast, in the second guest of our podcast, that I've shed a tear.
Oh, yeah, you are crying.
A single solitary tear.
I see it. You've made him cry. Ricky Henderson didn't even make
me cry. Ricky Henderson didn't make me cry. Nobody's made me cry. And you did, so thank you. That was beautiful.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Shanila. Is that it? So are we out of time with Shanila?
Yeah, I think we're out of time, but okay. We'll have you back on sometime. I solemnly swear she's touched me deeply.
So this is my first maybe successful booking.
This is the most successful booking by far.
Cool, because I'm trying to get better because I feel like just every step of the way we've been missing.
So I thank you, Waylon. Thank you, Shanila. Thank you, Maddie. Joe.
Real quick before we sign off, Greg, I just wanted to let you know that I emailed my lawyer, and when I'm gone, all my diaries are going to be left to you.
Whoa.
That means a ton. That really does. I don't know.
That's really nice.
What I'll do with them, but I can assure you it will be deep and meaningful. Wow.
This is a real connection. You guys are really.
We really are. Wow. Well, I look forward to talking
about
it more.
Joe's crying over there, too. Yeah. He's not on mic, but he's... Maddie, how are you feeling?
I'm feeling it.
Wow.
Deep. Yeah, I'm kind of stunned right now.
Wow. Yeah, I don't think anybody...
I wasn't expecting it when you guys called me in here.
That was going to be a lighthearted day of baseball, and we all got moved.
Well, Shanila, Maddie, thank you. We'll be right back with more of a very special Duck Snort.
Duck Snort.
If anybody wants a banana, I have 12 more.
Okay, I'll grab a banana.
That's our show for this week. Another big thank you to our guests, Maddie Smith and Shanila Letterman.
If you want to check out some of what Maddie writes and directs, go to Verizon's Go90.com and see Tales of Titans, sports related.
He's a writer and director on that.
And you can follow him at Maddie Smith. That's FF at the end instead of TH for at Maddie Smith. And if you like what Shanila Letterman had to say, you could follow Katie Plattner at Katie Two Hands on Twitter. And if you're in LA, she does stand up, so maybe you'll accidentally run into her.
Also, follow us at Duck Snort Pod on Twitter and Instagram. Please leave some reviews in the iTunes store. We always appreciate those. Another big thank you to Boardwalk Audio for hosting us, and to All Boy All Girl and Moon Bounce for the lovely transition music. That's all we got. Catch us next week with another episode of Duck Snort.
Boardwalk Audio Podcast. For more information and shows, visit BoardwalkAudio.com. Don't forget to rate and subscribe now.